Up to. We are up to Hoshea, Perek Beis, Pasuk. A moment, on the 10th page. Pasuk Yud Beis. Okay, Pasuk Yud Beis. Page 30, top of the page. Pasuk says, V'yata now. Agales navlu sol ene me'aveha v'ish lo yatzilenu miyadi. Okay, so Hashem Pasuk here says that now HaKadosh Baruch Hu says I'm going to expose her. I'm going to can you close the door? Just can you take the coat off? Just close the door. You don't have to. Can you take the coat? Just take the coat off and then Mayor, yeah. Can you take the coat off the door and close the door?
There's no one in there.
All right, we'll be soon. Od mat. Page 30. V'yata now agales nav lusolene me'haver Hashem says his punishment for her transgression, her desire to pursue her lovers, these men that she was mezana with. I will, and in punishment for her saying that all of her support, her wool, her clothing, her food, her drinks, all of the benefit that she has come from these men, I will deny them from her, I'll take them away. And the clothing which she claims has not come from me, but has come from these other men, I will remove, and I will strip her naked. I will expose her Nevela, her disgrace in the eyes of those whom she loves, referring.
You married her, she's a donor already.
What?
You married her. She's already a donor.
Yes.
Why did you marry?
Hashem told. That's exactly the marshal. Exactly the point. Hashem told Oshe to marry a zona, to show, and then in order to create this marshal, to create this parable where. Well, going back to the very beginning, the main reason was Hoshea said to Hashem, if the Jewish people are not pleasing in your eyes, exchange them for another nation. Get rid of them and take for yourself a new nation that will be the chosen nation. That will be the Or La'amim. So Hashem said to Hoshea, you think it's so easy just to abandon after the investment I've made in the Jewish people just to exchange them? Why don't you try it? Why don't you marry a woman who is not faithful? And let's see how easy it is to divorce her and to ignore and to just abandon your children. Let's see, you'll see that it's not so easy just because a wife is not faithful and she's a zona. That doesn't necessarily mean that the first thing you do is you divorce her and you abandon her. So you and kol shekein al achas kama v'kama, how much effort I have invested in Klal Yisrael, I'm not just going to abandon her, ignore her, and exchange her for another nation. But in the process of doing so, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says we have to punish her. Just because a woman is mizan, just because I'm not going to go divorce her, does not mean she gets a free lunch, she gets a free ticket. She has to be punished, she has to be disciplined. And the discipline over here is, this is the mashal. The mashal over here is, I'm going to tell Klal Yisrael, and I'm willing to refer to his wife also, that in punishment she's going to be exposed, her clothing are going to be removed, and she'll be disgraced in the eyes of those that loved her. V'ish lo yat silenim yadi, and no one's going to be able to prevent this from happening. You cannot outsmart Hashem. When Hashem is goyzer, there is no way a person can escape the gezerah of Hashem. We say every single day in the beginning of Pesuk de Zimra, Baruch Gozer Umikayim, which has many interpretations. But one of the simplest interpretations is that Kodesh Baruch Hu, he makes gezeres, he's gozer. Gozer does not necessarily have a positive connotation. Many of us like to assume it means good, it means Hashem is gozer, good things. But the word gozer usually refers to things that are not very pleasant. Umikayim. And when Hashem makes a gezerah, there is nothing a person can do to avoid it. There's no trick, there's no legal loophole, there's no technique a person can do to avoid the Yad Hashem. If Hashem wants there to be harshness, there wants there to be a gezerah, umikayim, it will be fulfilled. And for that, in the morning, we also give bracha. We also give bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that he conducts the world with a world of emes. a world of integrity, a world of discipline, because if the world will be a world where there are no rules, then the whole world will come to an end. So even that, even for the harshness, we also give Kadosh Baruch Hu Shevach Vaidah, like the bracha of Baruch Dayan HaEmes. There's also, you say it every single day in a much minimized form of Baruch Goyzer Umikayim. And here the pasuk says, V'ish lo yatzilenum yadi, there is no man that can escape Hashem's Gzer. So let's see the Mitzudos, the pasuk you base, page 31, page 30, the Mitzudos David, short Pasuk Yud Beis. The Atar now, Kisha Asir Tzamri Upishti Agale Agale Kior Gilui Ervasa, when I remove from her her wool and the flax, it will now be exposed to the disgustingness of the exposure of her erva. Le'ene me'arechas hashamayim, the Mitzudos is always consistently learning the word me'aveha, her lovers, refers to the worship of the mazolos. The fact that the Jewish people believe that their success depends upon their mazel. V'lo yatzilenum yadi, mi yadi, return lema, lo yuchal mil hashpia lecha toiva bezulas ritzoni, no one's going to be able to bestow upon her blessing except for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi, Pasuk, there is no Pasuk Yudeis, v'ish lo yatzilenum yadi, av zuchus avoysam tama. This is an amazing idea. Rashi over here says that the ish refers to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Okay, we're going to see now the Medrash right now. Let's look at the Medrash right now. This is a very, very powerful pasuk. This pasuk, one of the imamish ikki yisoydis of Yadus. This idea that the ish lo yatzilenim yadi, what it means according to Chazal over here is Mesech the Shabbos. Look at it on the very, very bottom on page 30, where it says Likude Shas Midrashat Hatanoim Agala Es Navlusav Leine Haveha. The ish lo yatzilenim yadi. Who is the ish? When did the zchus of us come to an end? We can no longer rely upon our forefathers that we will be protected. Amar Rav, Mimois Hoshea ben Be'eri. Who's that? Who is Hoshea ben Be'eri? That's the name of the Sefer. Sefer Hoshea. His father was Be'eri. Shenemar, Agale esnav luso le'inei mehavecha v'ish. Lo yatzilenim yadim, no ish will be able to save her. So Mepharshim says, who is the ish? The ish is Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. How do we know that? Because there are psukim. It's over here somewhere. Give me one. Where is it? I know we have it over here. Okay, we're going to have it here soon somewhere. I know I read it over here that Avraham was called an ish. And Yitzchak was called an ish, and Yaakov was called an ish. Each one of these three were called ishim.
Go a little further, it'll tell
you. A little further, Medrash? Okay, let's go further. Okay, next Medrash. All right, here's next. All right. Ad Eichon Hoysa Zuchus Ovois Kayemes. The next Chazal. Until when was the Zuchus Ovois Kayemes? Shmuel Amar. Ad Hoshea. Until Hoshea. The at agales navlusa le'inei mehavecha v'ish lo yatzlin miyadi v'ein ish ela Avraham. K'mod teimar, v'ato hashev es eshes ho'ish. Hashem said to Paro, return to Avraham, the eshes ho'ish ki navihu. He'll pray for you. And therefore you see Avraham in this context is called ish. V'ein ish ela Yitzchak, k'mod teimar, miho ish halozeh ha'holech basodeh likrosenu. Rivka said to Eliezer, who is this man that's walking in the field that's coming towards us? That was referring to Yitzchak, v'einish el Yaakov, the Kamod Tamar, the Yaakov ish tom yoshev oyholim. Okay, so we have over here the Zuchus Avos. And by the way, here's a very interesting idea. Who called the Avos Ishim? The first pasuk, the ish, hashev es eshes ho ish. Eshes ho ish, the pasuk was said by Hashem, but in reference to who? Hashem was telling Paro. Paro recognized that Avraham was an ish. Okay, who called Yitzchak the ish? His wife, Rivka. Who called Yaakov an ish? It was Yaakov ish tam yoshev oyholim Hashem. The pasuk. There's no one that's saying this. This is not. We want to say maybe the whole society. Maybe let's learn like that. The entire society is saying about Yaakov Avinu, the Yaakov Ish Tom Yoshev Oholim. What is an Ish? An Ish is a tzaddik. What do we learn in the word is in the tzaddik in Parashas Devarim? Havu lochem anoshim chachamim unevayim. What does it mean, Anoshim? Rashi is the question, Anoshim, v'chisala al daitecha, that Moshe Rabbeinu would appoint for the Sanhedrin people that are not Anoshim. What is he going to appoint? Robots? What does it mean in the Pasuk? Havu lochem anoshim. What does it mean? Noshim? He's going to appoint women to be dayanim? People today, unfortunately, people will say that's right. Okay, but it seems that Chazal was not a havamina that Noshim will be appointed as dayanim. Why not? I don't know, but that's Chazal. So what does it mean then? Robots? So Chazal means anoshim ein anoshim ela tzadikim. Rashi kisufim, upright people, which means tzadikim, righteous people. The word ish at times in Tanakh has a connotation of a righteous person.
Like the Moroccan king, they were ksherim, anoshim.
Anoshim, ksherim, tzadikim, upright people.
Right.
So look at this beautiful medrash. You have the avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, ein ish, yatzirim, yadi. Each one is called an ish. But there's a very big difference who called them an ish. Avraham is an ish in reference to Paro. Yitzhak is an ish in relation to Rivka. And Yaakov is an ish in reference to society. Everyone said about society. What does Esav do for a living? Esav was, Yaakov ish tam, he was an ish sodeh. Esav was an ish sodeh. And Yaakov had a reputation as being an ish tam yoshev aholim. So what do you learn? To be a tzaddik, in order that you're a tzaddik, you have to be a tzaddik across the board. Sometimes in society, you have a situation where a person, to his wife, he's a tzaddik. You hear about it. He's very good to his family. You want to be mashadik with this person? I'll tell you one thing about this guy. This guy does not have a good reputation. I've heard this many times, right? The guy is not a good in shul. He's nasty. In business, does not have a good reputation. But one thing I can tell you about him, he's very good to his family. He's very, very good to his family. His children, his wife, his parents, he's a very... So therefore you should know, no, there's no perfect person in this world. In tzadik aretz asher yaseh tov lo yechata, this individual is very good to the family. And then you'll hear about people all the time that are wonderful in society. They have a reputation, a stellar reputation. Everyone loves them, they're big askanim, and big balei chesed, but their family, they hate them. The wife... When was the last time you ever took out the garbage? When was the last time you was ever home? When was the last time you ever brought me, said to me happy birthday, said to me good morning? It's a problem. There are people that are very, very good in society, but to themselves, but to their own family, they're horrible, they're very nasty. And then you have people who are tzaddikim, paro, hoshev es esha so ish, which you have to, okay, finesse what it means, but it means, Hashem said to paro, hoshev esha so ish. World leaders. It means that dealing with people of importance, then he's very good. When you go to the President of the United States, you behave yourself. You're very, 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 very good for when you're dealing with choshuva people. When you deal with someone who's a choshuva person, you're very good. Someone who's a wealthy person, a distinguished person, you know how to be. When you deal with a common man, when you deal with your family, then you just brush them off. You're nasty, and you don't do what you're supposed to do. You see in this pasuk over here, very fascinating thing is that in order to be called a tzaddik, to be called a tzaddik in ish, which means a tzaddik, an upright person, you have to be a tzaddik across the board, a tzaddik with your family, a tzaddik in society, and a tzaddik with important people. Just because it's true. There are people when it comes to dealing with the top of, I'm not going to give an example I'm thinking about, but I know certain people that when they deal with the people who are on the very, very top of their social, in their society, they're leaders in their society, they're very good, they're very humble, and then when they deal with you, with the average person, they're nasty, they couldn't care less. What are you worth? You have no value to me. You got to be a tzaddik across the board, to your family, to the common man, and also have derech eretz to the people who are the leaders who represent us on the top of the social ladder of our society. And here the pasuk says, "V'ish lo yatzilenu miyadam." So now that we know that the meaning of the word "ish" means these three people, it means Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the zuchus avos. So look at Avraham, look at Yitzchak, look at Yaakov. We say zoicher chaste avos. Who are the chaste avos? Elokeinu v'elokei avoseinu. Elokei Avraham, elokei Yitzchak, elokei Yaakov. So we mention them. And we mention the Zeicher Chaste Avos, so maybe girl of Nevinim, Laman Shema Biyavo, Lachoy, when it says the Chaste Avos, it's going back on the beginning of the Bracha of Avraham and Yaakov. And guess what it says? It says that this Chus came to an end at the time of Hoshea ben De'eri. We learned it from this Pasuk that we just read today, which is really an amazing Pasuk, the Ish, Lo Yatzilenu Miyadi. However, Chazal do say, Tosfos on this Gemara, Masech the Shabbos, says, although it's taka true that the Schus Avos has come to an end, the Bris Avos has never come to an end. The covenant. What's the difference between the Bris and the Schus? Bris means it's not a matter of love. It's just a matter of Hashem has no
deal.
What?
It's a deal.
It's a deal. Hashem will guarantee. Now, I think also, I don't know if you can say this, but the difference also lies in the difference between the klal and the prat. So when you're dealing with klal Yisrael, there's a bris. That means this guarantee klal Yisrael is going to get to the finish line. We're going to make it to the finish line, no matter what. It's going to happen because we have a bris. Mashiach's going to come. Klal Yisrael is going to return. Eretz Yisrael is going to be the building of the Beis Hamikdash. It's going to be Mashiach, and we're going to be the Orla Amen. Question: who will merit to be part of this Geula? Which individuals? Klal Yisrael today has 15 million people at this moment in time, approximately. From the 15 million people, which one of the 15 million people is going to be a player? Is going to be a participant in the Geula that's coming. That you need zuchus. When you have a zuchus avos, every single person is an enikul of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So every single person is going to be part of the process, is going to be significant. But if we don't have the zuchus avos, the klal, the nation, will get to the finish line. The bris encompasses the nation. But it does not necessarily encompass the individuals. Yeah. There's Ashkocha Pratis. No one's coming to deny there's Ashkocha Pratis. But there are different levels of Ashkocha Pratis. There are different levels of who's going to be part of this ultimate Geula. The Zuchus of us is no longer with us. Which
no,
means
I'll never come back.
What? So that's the topic of discussion. What does it mean? I don't know. There are different opinions of what this means. It means that if we make a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it does come back. Even today we say in Shemona Esrei, V'zoicher chaste avos. You remember the chasadim. So zoicher, is that related to the schus? Not necessarily the merit. We ask Hashem to remember the kindness. It appears to me that we're trying to evoke the zuchus. What else does it mean, right? We say about a tzaddik, zuchusoi yogein oleinu. May their zuchus serve as a protection for us. So we see that we do invoke the concept of zuchus of us. How far does it go? I don't know. Obviously, until Hoshea ben De'eri, it went a lot further than it goes today. Okay, it doesn't mean it's completely over, but this is one idea of the difference between the bris and the zuchus. Bris is the klal. The klal is going to be there. But who's going to be part of this? That you need a zuchus to be the yachid. Every individual needs a zuchus in order to connect and to be part of the process. Let's see a few short things. Let's see what it says let's take a look at the gra. No, so the Gra is the next pasuk, so that's the next pasuk. Let's look now at, let's first see the Malbim. Okay, I marked off a few things. Let's look at the Malbim pasuk Yud Beis. It's on page 31 pasuk Yud Beis. V'yato ha'neo agal esnav luta le'inei mehaveha shehagam she mehaveha shehem sidri hamareches oimdim etzla ve'ineim olecha le'toiva. Now he's saying over here, the Malbim is learning like the Mitzudos. That this idea of the Ahaveha, her lovers, refers to the Mazolois. the fact that the Jewish people they put their confidence in nature. In nature, in mazel and teva, so things are going good. Everything is working fine. B'chol zos afshit es bigodecha ve'agale es navlusa v'ish lo yat silenum yadi u'v'zeh tovin ki ein lohem shum koyach neged Hashem. There's no success if you deny Hashem, if you're not on Hashem's side. V'loy levat she'ein b'kochem los es mumu m'bli return Hashem ki gam lo yuchlu lohoyil she'yiskayim b'yoda ha'toy v'ashakva ha'siga yoda. They'll not even be able to hold on to the blessing in their savings account. In other words, what we're saying over here is that even though, according to the laws, the Malbim is not coming to deny the fact that there is something called mazel. A person is born into this world with a certain disposition to be successful. Everyone is different. We see there are people that we look at them and they rise to great success, great prominence in all different dimensions, whether it's wealth, whether it's fame, whether it's talent. People, we look around and we see people have great success and we really scratch our heads, why him? Why him and not me? Why him and not that person? Why him and not my children? And what do we say? We all come and we say, it's just mazel. It's mazel. There's something beyond what we understand in this world. There's a certain gift, predisposition that a person has when he comes into this world that he will be successful. He will be wealthy. He will be famous. He will have a great prestige. Why? We don't know why. You don't know why. That's how it is. It's Hashem's world. So here it's saying that if those people who are successful, if they rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem will take away their success. Even though it's natural to them. In other words, even if they would have just been parif, would have just, lived a very ordinary religious life, no, nothing special. Nothing, they just do, just the run of the mill. So they would be given a special bracha to be successful. But if they rebel against Hashem, mahaches, they go against Hashem, then Hashem says, listen, even though I didn't ask you to exert yourself to be successful, I put you in this world and then I gave you a natural gift. If you want to be wicked, I'm going to take away that natural gift. That's a chiddush. Because
you don't always see that.
What?
I can start this thing.
Okay, look. But this is what it says. I don't want you to see that. I don't want you because they're not successful anymore. So you don't see it. It's a very fascinating thing. Over here, the Malma is saying over here, there is something in this world called mazel, success. And if you rebel, don't say, I'm no worse than being parif. You know, there is being positive, there is being negative, and there is parif. Just being parif, you're going to be successful. But if you're negative, so you'll say, so I'm negative, I'm a Rasha, so in the next world you'll punish me for my rebellion. But in this world, is no worse than being parif. And if I was parif, I would have been successful because that's my natural predisposition, my natural mazel. No, it's exactly what it says over here in this pasuk, that even though indeed the mazel is in your favor to be successful, if you want to rebel against the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to take away all of your blessing. That's how the Malbim appears to learn Pshat in this pasuk. Okay, one more thing before we go further, and that is let's look at the Rebbe Shmuel Al Mosnino on page 30, he really runs into the next pasuk. So maybe let's read what it says. Pasuk Yud Beis through Yudalit. Let's read a little bit. Ve'ata agal es navlusa v'tzoyin aloymar shagal shema I will reveal shema sheholcha achrei ha'me'ahavim. Now, that's what we want to explain what it means. Ach navlusa v'chi'ura sovav zeh. It's due to her disgrace. It's not my disgrace. It's her disgrace. V'im agale zeh l'me'ahaveha. If I'll reveal this to her lovers, v'yimoshech, it will then result she'ish lo yatzilenu miyodi. Now he just said a mouthful, and now he comes to explain. He explains in a few words. She'choshav lahatzila, her lovers, these people thought, like, let's say it assumes now that other nations or Avodah Zarah, they thought, Lahatzila Bavur Hakiur Sheli V'yimoshech Mizeh, and now it will result Shehem Yim Asua, now they will come to hate her. In other words, here's what let me say. Until this point in time, people were coming to the defense of Klal Yisrael. They were coming to do us favors. Okay, this is how Klal Yisrael, they were coming to bestow upon Klal Yisrael blessing, money, and bracha. And they thought the reason why they're saving us is because we're trapped in to a miserable existence. We are a religion that is, we're a backward people. So the nations of the world say, oh, we'll do with you chesed. It's a rachmanis on you. It's a rachmanis that you are living a life that is a life of emptiness. So here we are, we're going to save you. We're going to save you from your existence. That's the greatest lie in the world. We have everything you can possibly want. We have the Ribbono Shel Olam. But when Klal Yisrael says to the world, save us, save us, we don't enjoy our religion. Our religion, the Torah, it's not pleasing in our eyes. We're trapped into a lifestyle that we don't want. So the nations of the world say, "Oy, Rachmanis, Rachmanis, these people, they're backwards people, they're observing these ancient traditions, the Tayag Mitzvahs from time and back, ancient traditions, let's come and help them. Let's come and help them develop into a modern nation. And we'll assist them, we'll give them money, we'll engage in nation building, right? We'll make for them everything. And then we're so happy to be treated, to be cared for by the nations of the world. And Hashem says, you Rishon, how dare you? You're presenting yourself to the nations of the world as Nebuchs because you don't appreciate your heritage. You don't appreciate the Torah, the Tayag Mitzvos. I'm going to show the world that it's not me, it's not the Torah that is disgusting. That's his words, I'll read it again. It's you that's detestable. And then, when the nations of the world realize that the problem is not the Torah, the problem is us, that we are disgusting people, they will come to detest us. There's a vicious cycle here. Let's review and read the words inside. It's very profound what he's saying. Klal Yisrael, Hashem is saying here, they're reaching a state in their existence where they're coming to say, what do we have? What do we have in this world? We have the Torah. The Torah, it's not pleasing in our eyes anymore. We don't want this anymore. It's ancient. We want to abandon it. And in order to abandon the Torah, to break out of this thing which is not pleasing, we need help. We need help. SOS. So we call upon the nations of the world to give us money, to make us into a modern nation, to be just like all of the other nations. So what happens? Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, because we are really beautiful people, we have what to offer. The only problem that we have that's holding us back is because of the Torah, because of Hashem. Our observance of the Torah and the Ribbono Shel Olam, that is not pleasing in our eyes. So the nations, they take the bait. They take the bait. They say, Jewish people, you're beautiful people. And the only thing that's holding you back, that's not beautiful about you, is what you're telling us is not beautiful about you, and that's the Torah and Hashem. You know what? We're going to help you. We take the bait. When Hashem sees that we've done this, and we have succeeded in convincing the nations of the world to take the bait and to do this, Hashem says, what a chutzpah, what a betrayal of what you have done to me. I'm going to show the nations of the world that it's not true, just the opposite. The Torah and Hashem is beautiful, and you, the people, are disgusting for what you have done. Okay, let's read the words inside. You see how he reads it. He said, "Pasuk Yipasuk Yudbeis and Yudalgim Rebbe Shmuel Al Moisninoi." V'yato now Agale Es Navlusa Ritzon Loimar Shagale. Hashem says, "I will reveal to the world Shema this." I think it's Shema. I think there's a mistake. I think it's Shema. Shema Shaholcha. This, because Shema means her name. has to be a mistake. Has to be a computer
so
mistake.
Which
Shema, what?
Which Mofonish are you learning?
Rabbi Shmuel Almos Nino.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay? Shagal, I will reveal. Shema Shaholcha Acharei Hame'ahavim. This is the Jewish people went astray. And they followed the nations of the world. They followed the Mazolos. Lohoy, it wasn't because Bavur Nav Lucy, Hashem is speaking because I am disgusting. Hashem is disgusting, Kaviyachal. Chas v'shalom. V'chi uri, and I'm ugly. It's not because the Torah and Hashem is ugly and Hashem is disgusting. Ad shechashu, because when the nations of the world heard that Hashem is ugh, and the Torah is ugh, so what do? Ad shechashu, they came to our rescue. Humanitarians, right? They came to our rescue. Ad shechashu l'hatzila miyadi. The nations of the world came running into Klal Yisrael, into Eretz Yisrael, to save us from Hashem, umiki uri, and from the ugliness chas v'shalom of the Torah. So Hashem says, "It's not true. That's not true. I am not ugly. I am beautiful." The Torah is beautiful, could not be more beautiful. There's no greater precious gem in the world. Ach, you know who's ugly? You, the Jewish people, you're ugly for doing this. Ach, Navlusa. It's not Navlusi. It's Navlusa, her disgustingness. V'chi'uro, two words which means the same thing. Sovavze is what caused this sequence of events to tell the nations of the world come to the rescue. V'imagalaze. And when I reveal this to the world, when the world comes to realize, when the Goyim, when they come to realize the beauty of the Torah and the betrayal of the Jewish people, what happens? The Goyim spit on us. And you see this today. You see this today that when a person, chas v'shalom, is machal l'shem Hashem, is a ganef. Person is, in the eyes of the whole world, a ganef. Doesn't it say in your Torah, loy tignoivu? Doesn't it say in your Torah something about ethics, morality? This is what you do. This is what you do, and you want to be like us. You have betrayed your Torah. Your Torah has the most beautiful moral, ethical guide for life. You're the disgusting people, not the Torah, and therefore they spit on us, they hate us, and they completely abandon us, they want nothing to do with us. If I will reveal the real truth to her lovers, in this case it means the nations of the world, then you know what's going to happen? The nations of the world are going to withdraw themselves. They're not going to want to have anything to do with us. They're going to stay away from us, the 10-foot pole. She'ish lo yatzilenu miyadi, because shechashav, originally, the only reason why the nations of the world wanted to go and have something to do with us was because they thought that we are beautiful people and it's our old, ancient ways that are disgusting. Shechashav lahatzilo ba'avur ha-ki'ur sheli ha-shemesim, because of my ugliness. Now, when they realize that's a lie, it's the big lie, Hashem is beautiful, it's us who have betrayed Hashem, they will remove themselves from this Shehem Yim Asu, because they, the nation, will Yim Asuha, they will detest us. They will detest the Jewish people, period. Okay, and that's, then it goes on until the next, and it goes into the next psukim. Let's now go to the next pasuk, Yud Gimel.
Do you think this has happened historically?
Absolutely. Go look around.
Give me an example. I don't see it.
State of Israel. State of Israel. Who created the State of Israel? United Nations, the whole world.
Right.
Can you imagine? Look at the difference. Look at the difference between what happened in 1948 and what happened this year. 1948, that's a shocking thing. It's an utterly shocking thing that the United Nations should agree that the Jewish people can have their own homeland, give them a state of Israel. Shocking thing. And this year, they all said they had no one asked them. No one. It wasn't put upon them on their own. They said that Yerushalayim is occupied territory. They formally protest how the President of the United States can declare that Yerushalayim is the legacy, the property of and a Yerushalayim, I know you tell me it's Yerushalayim, not the whole Eretz Yisrael, but it's all the same. We all know that it's all the same. What happened? What happened in 70 years when they went Mikotze El Kotze? How could it be they went Mikotza El Kotza in 70 years? What?
Except now the state of Israel is more observant than it was back in 1940.
That's true, 100% true, but there are many dimensions. So what I'm saying, I don't know if I'm saying this correct, but what the answer is, I'm just making a suggestion, is that in 1948 when they decided, it was no question, it was all the Holocaust, it was the after the Holocaust, it was Rachmanis, look at the Jewish people, they suffered so much, what was disgusting? Well, the nation of the world said, let's do them a chesed. Let's do for these nebuch, they're such nebuch, these people. Let's do them a chesed. Look what Hashem did to them. Look what the Ribbono Shel'olam did to them. He destroyed them. 6 million people gone. So who is the ugly one in the eyes of the nations of the world? Chas Shalom to say. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
And who's the beautiful people? We. We have so much what to offer. Arts, ichveis, go through all the things. We have what to offer. So Hashem is the guilty. The Jewish people are the innocent. So we are all good. The world is a good. We are all good people. So we're going to do them a chesed. We're going to do a chesed and save them from themselves, and make for them, give them a legitimacy, a state of Israel. And now, it's been 70 years. And what has the world come to see? The world has come to see how Klal Yisrael has thrived. Exactly, because it's such a religious country. Good, that's exactly the point. They thrived in Yadus. They're mamash the Or La'anim. They represent everything good that there is in this world. So who's the ugly? So who then is the ugly one? So they realize that Hashem Taka, they have. What I'm saying now cannot be proven. It's all like trying to fit this in. Is that there's a recognition? No, the Ribbono Shel Olam is the real deal. Why the Holocaust happened? No one knows. But the Jewish people, they're not being faithful to their religion, to their legacy. And there is this animosity. Okay? Halacha, that's what I'm saying requires much more elaboration, much more analysis, if I'm saying even makes any sense. And now they're coming to attack us. They detest us now. What happened? Rav Shmuel Al-Moistino is saying something very, very profound. He's saying, originally, the Goyim are coming to embrace us because they think we're good people, and they just have to save us from our past, from the Hashem and the Torah. Then, when time passes and they realize they were mistaken. Hashem and the Torah is perfect. It's us who have not been faithful to our mission in this world. So they now let go of us, and Adrabah, they have charata for everything that they've done to us, because all the good they've done to us was based upon a false premise. What I just said is really explosive. Okay, but so don't. I just think this through now. So I'm not necessarily saying this is correct, but it's an idea. There's something over here. This is something, a very profound idea that he's trying to bring out. And if you want to apply this to the modern world, maybe there's a grain of truth to this in the modern world. And maybe what I'm saying is total nonsense, so I have not thought it through. I'm not trying to ruffle anyone's feathers and whatever, but it's an idea to look at more in depth.
A lot of books written that the reason, one of the reasons that they voted for the state of Israel, a lot of these countries, was that they thought this is the way they could get rid of their Jewish population.
Exactly.
They'll go live in Israel. And so they won't have to deal with the Jews in their country.
Wow.
They'll give them a country. So now everybody go there. We don't have to think about our Jews.
At the same time.
But it didn't happen.
They're trying to wash away their own guilt.
Documented in a lot of books.
For their complicity.
There are so many factors. Their encyclopedia is trying to understand how it happened.
The British acted in a way which they wanted the Jews not to be successful. They did allow people to go who were young. They
were religious.
They had the Cyprus. They even the United States after the war. Weapons were sold as a surplus. They didn't allow it to go to Israel. They did everything to prevent it and to stop it.
But the bottom line is they voted. It happened.
Maybe they felt guilty because they wanted to prove to the world, the British, that that the Jews would not be successful because they gave it over to the Arabs mainly.
Okay, there are a lot of theories.
It's a very mixed bag.
It's a very complex. It's a very mixed bag. It's very, very known. The bottom line is, it happened. How did it happen? No one knows. It happened. It's just mind-boggling. The more you think about it, it's and the proof. Today, what happened today? Never. Never.
What happened today?
A state of Israel. If they would have to vote now to give the Jewish people a state of it. Today, 2018, take a vote today. Should we, let's say there were just Jews living. Let's say that in that region, there's 8 million Jews. What, how many Jews are living there in Israel today? 8 million? 7 million. So there's 7 million people living. And let's say it's controlled by Turkey and by it's controlled by some foreign country. And we're just there as guests. And now we want to make our own state. With today, 2018, where they say, okay, we're going to give you permission, we're going to recognize legally you have autonomy, sovereignty, you're totally independent, you'll be your own nation. Will the United Nations today vote, today, 2018, to give the Jewish people living in this region under the authority of another nation, let's say it's controlled by Egypt, by Turkey, by the EU, who knows what you want to go tell me who it's going to be monitored by, some type of joint partnership, and we're just there as residents. We have green cards, living in Eretz Yisrael. We have green cards together with the Arabs. Okay, we're going to give you control, authority. You're going to call your own shots. You have your own army. You'll do whatever you want. Today, 2018, never, never, ever, ever. Wouldn't happen. Wouldn't even have a mina. And yet it happened. It happened in 1948. So how do you explain that? Obviously, there was a different attitude, and now the attitude has changed. Attitude has changed. What exactly is the difference in the attitude of the nations of the world then and the attitude of the nations of the world now? So you're saying everyone here threw like five. I heard of you in 10 seconds. Five different theories. Holocaust. It was Adarabah. It was a planned Adarabah to get rid of us. It was a sneaky plan.
It's what the
rule. It's all different, true. Different. But the bottom line is they voted. They voted. Yeah. What's going on? What's happening over here? It's very, very complicated. Obviously, you have to understand. And we don't. We need a navi to teach us what this means. All right, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Gimel. This is a very, very, very scary pasuk. Hashem says that during Galus, I'm going to bring an end. It's going to cease. Kol misaisa, all of her joy. What does her joy include? Chaga, chodsha, v'shabata, v'chol moada. Four different words are coming to define the totality of simcha. Of sasoin, the different words for simcha. There's sasoin, simcha, gila, rina, ditzah, v'chet, v'av, v'yachva, v'shon, v'reus. Difference between shola and sasoin and simcha, whatever it is. Here, the word, the chosen word, is misaisa. And then the pasuk goes and says that we can break down the word of sasoin into four different categories: chaga, chodsha, shabata, and moada. I tell you, I don't think I ever saw so many different perushim. What the possibilities of these four words mean? Let's go one thing at a time. Pasuk Gimel.
No one takes it as pshat.
As pshat, it's like the seder. The seder, the Lel Pesach, are three letters: samach, dalid, resh. What is seder? How many different ways do we expound upon the Torah? Paradise. Pshat, remez, derush, soit. What is seder? Seder is sod, dalid is derush, and resh is remez. What happened to pshat? The simple pshat? There is no simple pshat. The night of Pesach, when you come with your family and you sit down and you celebrate Jewish survival, the existence of Klal Yisrael, and the fact that we're still here, there's soid, there's remez, there's drush, but pshat? Can you explain this in simple English? How come we're still here after all this? There's no pshat. There's no pshat. So when it says over here pshat, I don't know. I don't know if there's a pshat, what it means. Let's see the mitzudos of the pasuk Gimel.
Who's saying that I'm going to...
Hashem is speaking. Hashem is going to bring a korban. He's going to bring a korban. When the korban comes, it's going to cease to exist amongst the Jewish people, the following four things. What does this mean? Pasuk Yud Gimel. Hashem is the speaker. Part in the mitzudos David, v'shpati, avatel kol simchasa. I will bring an end to her joy. What does the joy include? Simchas chaga, chodsha, v'shabata, v'chol moada. What are these things? Heim rosh hashana, v'yom hakipurim, u'shmini atzeres. Now what does that mean? So Chaga is what? So Chodsha means obviously Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the Rosh Chodesh, is the mother of all Rosh Chodeshim.
Okay.
Okay. So that's it's the new year. It's on Rosh Chodesh. And what is Shabbatah? That's Yom Kippurim. Shabbat Shabbosoin. And I guess what does it mean? Chaga. Chaga l'chora means Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres. Sukkis in general is called the Chag. Sukkis is called the Chag. That's how it's always used in we generally, I don't have the source here, but Chagah means, I guess, since it's singular, her Chag. Chagah, her Chag. So I guess since there's an emphasis on the word Chag, the climax of Sukkot is Shmini Atzeres. It's very unique. His parish, the Mitzvah study, is off the charts. Okay? And what about Muslim V'chol Mo'adah? He doesn't translate it. He doesn't translate what it means V'chol Mo'adah. He leaves that blank. Okay, the questions are greater than the answers. But he does say that why after these three? Now, one thing about these three is very important to be aware is that these three things have the same musafim. Par echad, ayil echad, and shiva kivasim. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Shmini Atzeres share exactly the same set of karbonos for the musaf, the karbon musaf. On the Chagim, we know that on Sukkot, every day there's a different number. Shavuos is different. Pesach is different. Everything is different. But these three share in common the same Musafim. Maybe that contributes to why the Mitzudos put these three together. Rashi, Pasuk Gidal, there is no Yugimel. Let's go look over here. Let's first see the Medrash. The Medrash on the bottom. On page 30 in the very bottom, Pasuk Gimel v'Heshpati Kol Misayisah Chagah Chadashah v'Shabbatah v'Chol Mo'adah. Now look at this incredible Chazal from Rosh Shabbos. Mibnei Mo Mo'adim Shabbavol Smeichim Mibnei Shalom Hoyu Bo'isa Klola Tachsiv Heshpati Kol Misayisah Her Simcha Chagah Chadashah v'Shabbatah v'Chol Mo'adah. In Bavel, the Gemara says that in Bavel, the Golus, the joy, the Simcha of the Mo'adim is greater than the Simcha in Eretz Yisrael, because only Eretz Yisrael was cursed. Only they had the curse that in Golos is not going to be Simcha, but did not extend to Bavel. Isn't it an amazing thing?
Yeah.
And is that true today? Would you say that's true today? People are running to Eretz Yisrael for Sukkot. People come, they go there for Sukkot, they come back, they say it's like unbelievable. Nothing like the Simcha space of Sho'eva and going to all the shuls, Simcha's Torah, and they say the Simcha there is just like this. America's a far cry from the experience they have in Eretz Yisrael. People go for Shavuos, they come back and they say, you know, the Shavuos Eretz Yisrael. You know, so I don't know what to say. Can you really say that today? Can you really say that today? That how do we understand this Chazal in Tavshin Ayin Ches? I don't know. Maybe so. You can't pasuk to pasuk. You have to say there's a dimension. There's a prat of Simcha that's lacking in Eretz Yisrael that you have in Golus. I don't know. I'm just throwing out the question. What this means is very big, very mysterious. Pasuk next Chazal. The next Chazal is V'noyeg Evel Ala Chorbin Meirosh Chodesh. So this pasuk is a very important pasuk. This is the big machlokes when it comes to the Bein Hametzarim. When do we observe Avelos? So our custom is we observe Avelos during the 9 days. We only observe Avelos for the first 9 days of Chodesh Av. We have a minute. We extend it for the 3 weeks to Shavuos B'Tammuz. But the Iker Avelos is only in Chodesh Av. And we only observe for 9 days. Some people have the custom. I don't know, there is an opinion that you only observe Shavua Shechalboi. Shavua Shechalboi, that's it. And then there's an opinion, we see the Gemara say now, is the whole month. Why do you only stop Tisha B'Av? Tisha B'Av is the fast day. But when Tisha B'Av is on day 10, go back to your regular minhagim. You're not allowed to eat meat, you're not allowed to bathe, you're not allowed to do all the entire chodesh of Av, from beginning to end, is a chodesh of Avelus for the Churban Beis HaMikdash, not just the first 9 days. So you have different opinions. Either it's going to be the first 9 days, or it's going to be Shavua, the Shavua Shechalboi, just a few days of the week until Tisha B'Av, or the whole month. Where do these opinions come from? What is their source? It's this very pasuk. this very pasuk, very powerful drasha. Look at the Gemara in the Mavi. It says, "V'noik evil al churban meiroi shchoidish av vi'arat haynis divrei Rabbi." That's what we do. That's what we do. We follow Shira Rebbe. We go from shchoidish until Tisha B'Av. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol achoidish kuloi aser. There's no tuba off. Okay, there's no celebration of tuba. The whole chodesh is going to be aser. Rabbi Shimon Ben Gamliel Omer, ein aser ela oisa Shabbos b'lvad. What we call Shavua. Shechalbai. What's the source for these opinions? Ush Amar B'Yechanan, Ush Lashtan, all three of these opinions. Mikra Echad Darshu, this very pasuk. Dechsev V'Hishpati, I'll bring to an end. Kol Misaisa, all of her joy. Chaga, Chodsha, V'Shabata. Three different words. Man Diyama Merosh Chodesh, V'Yarat Hainis, Loimar, Zois, he learns that Mechaga. Chaga means her festival. Now, why? She Rosh Chodesh, over here in the bracket, it says She Rosh Chodesh, Nikra Chag. Rosh Chodesh is called a Chag. Okay, that's his interpretation. From Rosh, starting from Rosh Chodesh,
maybe
which is
also because it's in the feminine, and Rosh Chodesh has, is more
the Levana, the moon. The moon is the Makabel. The moon, the Chodesh is referenced as a female, because the Levana is Mekabel, the R from the Shemesh.
No, also it's really like a Yom Tov that was originally for women.
For Nashim, so originally for Nashim. Are you ready to say it's feminine because it's a Chodesh for Nashim, it's a festival for Nashim. Uman diyamar kol haChodesh kuloi also mechatsha. If you dash the word chatsha, chatsha means the entire month is forbidden. Uman diyamar kol haShabbos kulo. Only the week Shavua Shechalboy Asa Mishabata. So this is the Makar. It's a Gemara. Gemara in the time of Sech Tainis. Okay, it's a Gemara, and therefore this is the Makar for the three different Minhag coming from this very pasuk. Okay, now let's see some other Beirushim. Look at over here, the Gra. The Gra is a very nice Gra. The Gra says Vishpati Kol Misoisa Hainu Misois Chosan Al Kala. Okay, would you believe that? The joy of Chosan Al Kala. That's what he says. He says that the time of the Chorban, that's maybe this one of the Makoros of why we sing or why we break the glass. We break a glass under the Chuppah and we say under the Chuppah, Imeshkachech Yerushalayim Tishkach Yemini. So we mention that Pasuk because the truth is that the Simcha, Chasan V'Kala, is not a Simcha. It's the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Vishpati Kol Misaisa. The Gros says, what Simcha will come to an end with the Chorban HaMikdash? Simchas Chosan V'Kala.
But they're not allowed to get married?
They're allowed to get married, of course. The mitzvah of chuyv to get married, but the simcha is lacking. It doesn't, you can try all you want, you can dance all you want, but it's not there. There's something lacking. If the churban, the shechina, is not resting in Yerushalayim, it's just all for show. It's all make-believe. The simcha that we see, we make believe. We're living in a world of make believe. That's not a chiddush. Everyone knows that. The whole world is make believe. But the simcha that we experience is not a real simcha. We all know that in our own personal lives. When things are bothering you, in your own personal life, and you go to a simcha, you go through the motions. How many times have you gone to a simcha and you can really say that it was real simcha, true simcha? It's very, very rare. It's a tremendous bracha when a person can be in a frame of mind and can just totally block out all of the problems. All the problems. No one came to this world for a free lunch. Everyone has a peckle. And Hayinu Misois Chosan Al Kala Chaga. Then he goes on to that's Misoisa. Chaga Zo Simcha Sholesh Shugalim. The Gros says Simcha Sholesh Shugalim. Chodsha Zo Simcha Sachoidesh. Shabbata Shabbos Mamish. Whoever says Shabbos as Simcha. There's no pasuk that says there's a mitzvah to have simcha on Shabbos. It does not exist. It says v'samachta b'chagecha. There's oinig. There's no chiv to have simcha on Shabbos. You're not going to find any makar. And what's the nafkamin lahalacha? Are you mechuyev to eat meat on Shabbos? No, you're not. It's a mitzvah to eat meat. Meat in oinig. The Mishnah Berurah says it's beferish. The Mishnah Berurah says it's in a place you would never expect anywhere in the middle of the world. Anyway, I went to this to Rabbi Reisman. I asked him, are you mechuyev to eat meat on Shabbos? So I don't know, he said, I don't remember what he told me. So then he looked it up, he took out the index, the Mishnah Berurah index, and it was shocking. He found it in the middle of nowhere. And I don't remember, it was a long time ago, in the middle of a halacha, and Chelek Gimel, right? Chelek Gimel of Mishnah Berurah? It wasn't Chelek Gimel of Mishnah Berurah. It was probably Chelek Vav, Chelek Dalet. somewhere buried on a page and no one even ever looks at, and the Mishnah just happens to say there that on Shabbos you're not mechuyev to eat meat. You're not mechuyev. There's a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah. There's samach. What? What?
It's a mitzvah, so you
not pass
up a mitzvah.
Right. But it's not a choiv. What I meant to say is, it's not a choiv. It's not an obligation. It's a good thing to do. You get credit. You mekayim oinik Shabbos. It says in Navi that it's an oinik, an enjoyment, but it's not an obligation. Yom Tov, you have an obligation. You have an obligation, whether you like it or not. You have an obligation to eat meat. If you can't afford, you can't afford. That's another story. It's a problem. You know, a vegetarian in halacha is a very big problem. It's not so simple. You can be a vegetarian on Shabbos, but you cannot be a vegetarian on Yom Tov. On Yom Tov, if you want to be a vegetarian, it's not so simple. It really isn't. Yom Tov, there's a mitzvah, v'samachta b'chagecha, ein simcha ella b'basar. Chazal say, basar v'yayin. So you're going to set health reasons? All right. So, v'shamarta me'oyle nafshoy seicha. But if it's not a matter of a health reason, just a matter of, I want to be a vegetarian. Who says an Orthodox Jew, 3 days a year, is allowed to be a vegetarian? Who says you're allowed to be a vegetarian? If you could afford the meat, you can afford to buy the meat. Your body, it's not, the doctor did not tell you that it's pikuach nefesh. Who says you're allowed to be a vegetarian? You don't personally enjoy it? It doesn't taste good to you? That doesn't exempt you. Doesn't exempt you. He has to be an acquired taste. Next, v'chol mo'ada, elu rosh hashanah v'yom ha'kippurim. Okay, so you see the Gra has a whole new twist on how to translate these words. Notice, he does not mention. Well, Shmini Atzeres l'chayv is part of the Shalshu Golem. I guess you would assume that Shmini Atzeres is nichla when it says in the world. Okay, so he has a whole new pshat of what these words mean. Let's see. What else did I mark off here? I think that's it. Let's now go to the next pasuk. Okay, there are other interpretations of what it means, but which is not really relevant for us now. Let's just go right. Pasuk Yudalt. Hashimosi Gafno Husein Asada. This is an amazing targum here. Let's read the pasuk. I want to show you the targum. I'm warning you now. I don't know what it means. But all I can tell you is, sometimes you can smell lahavdil the other way around. You can smell a rat a mile away, right? You can smell it. You can smell here really good drush for a bar mitzvah pshetel, not a pshetel. Take it back for a drusha for bar mitzvah because of what the targum says. The targum says yikar. You look at the targum. You look at the targum later on. Pasuk Yudalet. I will bring an end. I will cause it to cease to exist. Shemama. Shemama means it will no longer exist. Desolation. Gafna, her vines. Useinah, son, her figs. Asher Amra. What did the Jewish people say concerning these two items? She said, Esno Hema Li. They are my hire. Esnan Zona. What's an Esnan Zona? The fee that the Zona charges for her service. So she said that this was a gift. This that I have in Eretz Yisrael, such beautiful vines and figs. This was a gift that the payment that the constellations, the idols, the idols that we've worshipped have given us in exchange for our service. The fact that we have worshipped the sun, the moon, the stars. The fact that we have worshipped our mazel, so the mazel and the sun, moon, stars, the chveis, whatever this is, they have reciprocated and they have paid us back and they have given us these beautiful vines and beautiful figs. Esna hemoli, asher nosnu li mehavai, they have been given to me by my lovers. And Hashem says, how dare you say that? What a nerve, what an act of betrayal to say that the blessing that I have given to you has come from someone else. This is the ultimate act of betrayal. It's one thing you don't want to behave, but you want to go attribute your success to someone, to something which doesn't give you success. So therefore Hashem says, I'm taking it away from you. V'samtim layar, I'm going to make your vineyards and your orchards into a forest. And it will be consumed by the wild animals. Okay, let us see.
Similar to what we saw on Pesach side.
Right, same thing. We're going through all different items. Like this poetic repetition here, all the different things that Klai Yisrael claims came from other people, Hashem is taking away. Now let's just do the mitzvahs right at the time. So one, focus on the Targum for one moment, and then we'll stop. Pasuk Yidal in the mitzvahs David. Pasuk, where is the mitzvahs on page 30? Pasuk Yidalit. I will make desolate the place of the gefanim v'hatainim, the vines and figs. Esna, what's the esna? Lefishim shila lezoina, omar leshoin esna. Because this woman, this harlot, this woman, Klal Yisrael is being compared to in by Hoshea to a zona. It's the ultimate comparison, because not only is she compared to a zona, he himself married a zona to show that Klal Yisrael is a zona. This is like you know, Yavi and Mishle. We learn Mishle. So we learned a million times, Zona, the whole Mishlei was all about the Isha Zona. But Hoshea, I did say for Mishlei, because Hoshea doesn't just call Klal Yisrael a Zona, he actually married a Zona to Lamaisa, to show that Klal Yisrael, this is what you are, you're a Zona. So because we call him Klal Yisrael a Zona, Amar Loshem Esnan, the pay for her service, that this gift, this success has come from the worship of heaven. Oh, that's Mitsud goes further than Mitsudos. The next passage, the next page 32 on the bottom. V'samtim la'yari esel ha'pardesim mekoyim hefker v'kiyang. And make the pardes, the orchards of the hefker, like of a forest. Chayas ha'sodeh to'oichal ha'peros. V'ritzen aloymar ho'oyev v'kach ha'kol. The enemy will take it all. The enemy, the Chayas HaSodeh, refers to the Umois HaOilam. Mm-hmm. The Umois HaOilam, they're the wild animals, the Chazir Meyar. They're the wild animals, they're going to come into Eretz Yisrael and take away our land. They are the true occupiers. It's our land. The Goyim are the occupiers. Make no mistake about that. We live in a world of the big lie.
All of these took them up, using words, paraphrasing the Tocha from the Hukosa.
That's a good point. The Hashimosi.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, you're right. I didn't pay attention to that. It's very good. It's all a parallel.
Another word.
It's probably a parallel. It's probably a sequence. It's probably something very deep here. Okay, but look at the Targum. Targum Pasuk Gidalit. The Atzdei. Atzdei means I'm going to destroy. Okay, I'm assuming that's what it means, right? The Atzdei is to destroy. Perei Gufna, the fruits of the Gefen. Useina, that's the figs. The Havos Omris, which the Jewish people would say is Yikar Inonli. They are my Yikar. What's Yikar mean? He's taking the word Esna. It's an amazing thing with that. He takes the word Esnan Zona, the most disgusting word in the Torah. The most disgusting word possible is an Esnan. Right? The money you give a woman's payment for Znus. It doesn't get worse than that. And here he says that the Jewish people said, what?
We use those words, we don't paraphrase those words as we do in Kisavo by the two words that we don't read the way they're written.
That's an explicit, Yishkolena, Yishkovena.
Those words we don't
even worse.
Say.
Those, I take it back, those words are so bad we can't even say it. We don't even say it. We use a krivich sif. The certain words were so explicit.
We don't say it's a kriv v'chsif.
So here we have the word esnan, which rates among the most disgusting things in the world. And look what he says: the havos amra yikar inun li. What is yikar?
Precious. No.
Precious tefillin. La yehudim hayso oira simcha v'sasayin v'kar v'kar. Elu hatefillin. What is the tefillin? It is our crown. It is the most precious thing that we have. V'rohu kol amei ha'aretz ki shem Hashem nikra olecha. Is it something more precious than tefillin? The shem Hashem upon our heads. It's our crown. And what is tefillin called? Yikar. Yikar. And here, Klal Yisrael is saying, who needs the tefillin? Okay, what do we need? What do we need? We don't need the tefillin. We don't need the tefillin. Forget about the tefillin. What's beautiful is the gafna useina saw is the land, the beauty of the land, the fact that the land produces vines, grapes. We have an industry, a wine industry, and we have figs, orchards. this will be for us in exchange for our tefillin. Rather, cultivate the land, produce the best that the world has to offer, and we'll take the tefillin, put it in Geniza. We don't need the yukar. We don't need the yukar of v'rohu kol amei ha'aretz ki shem Hashem nikra lecha. Instead, we'll worship the land. So what does Hashem say? Inu li, the havu li amamaya, which has been given to me by the nations, rochamai, who love me, the nations who love me. So notice the Targum doesn't, the Targum does the ahavai, he doesn't say, like Mitsudos and Rashi, that it refers to the mazolos. Okay, he really was working with, I was telling you from Rabbi Shmuel Almois Ninoi, that the Ahavai are the Umois Ha'olam. Okay, that's the theme which I'm going to focus on in the past. Rashi, the Targum consistently says that, is that the Ahavai are the Umois Ha'olam. We love the nations of the world. We want them, we want to embrace their culture. We want to westernize our Torah with their values and their culture, and being friends to them, and they should support us, and we have all of their technology and their entertainment. That not the worshipping of the Avodah Zarah, their idols, the stars, the moon, the mazalos. He has a different approach. Rochami ve'ash ve'nun l'churshos. Hashem says, I'm going to make it into a plowed field. A yar, he translates it not stam to be just a, it's a very, very, very bizarre translation. A forest is not an empty field. A forest thrives. Trees, it's a place of life, the forest. Okay, it's not hospitable to human beings, but it's a place of life. He says a yar means l'churshah. Churshah means, maybe make a mistake. Churshah means a yar. Maybe that's what it means in Aramaic.
I think it does because we see in Agdamas.
Yeah.
All the trees will be scribers.
Okay, fine. V'seichol linun chayas bara, and it will be eaten by the chayas, the wild animals of the bara of the field. The point I want to make, and we have to come back to this, is over here, is that in this pasuk.
So what's precious? What would be precious?
Yakar. So he's using a word.
Who's there?
Okay, so he's using a word. He's using the word yakar. Yakar as a translation for the word esnan. This is off the charts. Off the charts to do. It's not the word. It's not what you have to go. Go to Chumash. I have to go. Go to Chumash. How you in Unkelus? Unkelus translates in Chumash the word esnan. Esnan means payment, and he's saying a whole new word that it means. This is the honor. And what is the honor? Vines and figs. So in S, and being that we are, I'm just thinking about the Rosh Hashanah and Belial. We'll come back to this. Is that if he's comparing Yokar to a vine and figs, that means tefillin, in one respect, really are a symbol of Geffen and Te'enim. We wear tefillin, until now called Yukar. This pasuk, in a negative way, is saying that we have exchanged our tefillin, the Yukar, the real Yukar, for Geffen and Te'enim. How the pasuk criticizes us is also a revelation that since it shows exactly these two to create one to the other, indeed there must be a similarity. And therefore there must be some understanding. We have to understand what exactly is the mila of Hashem creating grapes in this world. What is the mila of figs? And then when you look at tefillin, and when you look at tefillin in this context, tefillin take on a whole new meaning. Now let me just drop some of the ideas. What type of clothing did Hashem, the Adam and Chava make for themselves? Te'ena. When they were after the Chetu Egel, they used Ale Te'ena to cover their nakedness. What got them into the trouble to begin with? What did they drink to begin with? What did Adam do to get himself into trouble to begin with? What did he eat? Some machlokes in the Gemara, ichita, and some say it was geffen. So if you work with that approach, that it was geffen, so these are the two things. The geffen is what he ate, which brought about the shame that of nakedness, and the te'ena is what was the tikkun, is the cover of the nakedness.
Isn't there an opinion that te'ena was
also one of them?
Right.
Okay, so I have to work. I'm just showing you ideas.
That's why he says Geffen first.
Okay, then there's also the idea is that grape, we always make a boi priya gofen. Why? In via gefen, dover, what's the... There is this inyan of the grapes that Hashem will give tzaddikim l'asalavo to drink from grapes from Gan Eden that were never pressed. So the fact that we make a Bor Priya Gofen takes us back to the very, very beginning of creation. Obviously, the fact that we're comparing tefillin, which also is a malbush, what do we do with tefillin? Tefillin is a malbush. It's a garment. The te'enim was a garment that Adam made for himself. And the Gefen takes us back to the time of the Chait, or before the Chait. And what does tefillin represent? V'rohu kol amei ha'aretz ki shem Hashem nikro lecha.
When Yeshayahu envisions a future of peace and tranquility, he says that every man
tachas
gachna v'tachas tengas every
gvaldik. Excellent, fantastic. Okay, so the only thing that we're adding to the mix is yukar. Geffen te'ena has to be understood what they represent, especially the pasuk that you just said, tachas gachna v'tachas tenaso, the coming of Mashiach. And here we have a new thing that we've never come across in the Targum. There's an equation. What does all this mean? To be continued. All right, we'll stop here.